This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. This cause. Now, before we put our theme scripture up there, I want you to understand every one of you in this room have a cause. The Bible says that David was sent down by his daddy to check on his brethren when they were at war with the Philistines. And being at war with the Philistines, David is a young man. He's a teenager at the time. And he takes some food down to his brethren. And he, unbeknownst of the fact that there is a giant that comes out every day. As a matter of fact, he's been coming out for the past 40 days. And here's what he's been defying the armies of Israel. He's been defying the God of Israel. And he's just been talking down to us like we ain't nobody. Huh? And so David gets down to the camp. And, he chatting along with his brethren and, chatting along with some of the other guys. And out come this huge man of a giant. And he's doing the same thing. He's been doing it for 40 days. And he said, send me a man that'll fight with me. Matter of fact, y'all don't have to fight. Just give me a man out of your camp that'll fight with me, and I'll fight with him. Now, if I beat him, all y'all become my servants, our servants. And if he beats me, then we'll become y'all's servants. But give me a man to fight with me. Now, isn't God like this here? God will take somebody who unknown, unlikely to be successful. God will take the foolish things and confound the wise. God will take the weak things and confound the mighty. Yeah. And now God takes this teenage boy, because listen to what he says. When he hear this giant start talking trash, he starts saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? The Greek word, for that phrase, is there not a cause, can be summarized in one word, and that one word is therefore. Therefore. Now, when you look at the word therefore, there's got to be something, if you're going to make a therefore, there's got to be something that precedes the therefore. Meaning there's got to be some statements, that's made, and then you come to a therefore. Therefore, I'm going to do such and such. Therefore, this and that is going to transpire. Or, in other words, you can say, for this reason, this is going to happen. So today we're going to talk about for this cause. Put Hebrews 9:15 on the screen in the King James Version. Now, on Wednesday evening, you got to go to the media room and get the DVD or the CD to catch up on this, because I'm not going to go back and cover all that we covered on Wednesday, but it will behoove you to get that, okay? So look what it says in 9:15 of the book of Hebrews. It says, for this cause, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, he says, and for this cause, or therefore, or for this reason, he is the mediator of what? What is he the mediator of? The New Testament. All right. If there's a New Testament, there must have been an Old Testament, right? So he says to us, for this cause, or for this reason, or therefore, he is the mediator of the what? New Testament. So if there's a New Testament, again, there must have been a
Old.
All right. Now, watch the rest of this here. He's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the what?
First.
So if there was a First Testament, there got to be a. No. If there's a First Testament, there got to be a Second Testament. All right. So the Second Testament, is this New Testament. So it says, you know, that those that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive what? The promise of what? Eternal inheritance. Put that up there, verse 15, in the message. You know, let it clarify some. So in the message it says, through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead end efforts to make ourselves respectable. All right? So that we can live all out for God. So we can live all out for God. So he became the mediator of the New Testament. And this is what we want to talk about. Look, put up there real quick. St. Matthew 26, verse 26 in the King James. St. Matthew 26, 26. Let's start there in the King James. All right? Because this is something that we do. And I want you to understand something that we do. You do this here, so you're familiar with this here. So I want you to understand something here that we do. So it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and says, take, eat, this is my body. What do we call this? The Lord's Supper or communion or the Lord's table, right? Look at verse 27 in this here. It says, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, do what? Drink ye all of it. Look at verse 28. For this is my blood of the. All right. So if there was a New Testament, there must be a. All right. So he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, this is what we're going to talk about, you know, for this cause. Why did Jesus come? And in the last session, we talked about the word ransom on last Sunday. Now, when you talk about ransom, ransom is a price that's paid to free prisoners. It's a price that's paid to open closed doors, to break fetters. It's a price that's paid to free those who have habits, habitually have habits. That's what ransom is. But when you look at ransom, ransom is a price that's paid to redeem somebody. The redeem means to buy back. All right. But there's four things that ransom must be able to do. Four things, four requirements, and everybody say, this is a must.
This is a must.
I want to get down today in this time I have to speak to you by the Holy Spirit. I want to address some things for us Christians. All right? I need to address some things for us. So there's four things that this ransom must do. Number one, this ransom must be able to expiate our sins. The word expiate, E-X-P-I-A-T-E, it means to totally remove them. We usually say it means to atone. It means to cleanse from guilt. It means to repair. But expiate means to remove your sins from here and take them totally out of the way. But in taking your sins out of the way, because sometimes God can say you're forgiven, but then you walk around and you say, yeah, I know God said that I'm forgiven, but I just can't seem to forgive myself. Well, what expiate means, it takes away your sins and casts them as far as east is from west, throw them in the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. But then it takes away the guilty conscience also, so you won't walk around talking about, I can't seem to forgive myself. You can hold your head up and say, I am forgiven. So it takes away your sin and the guilt. So when a ransom is paid, let's look at this here. When a ransom is paid, it must have the power not only to take your sin and cause them to be removed from you, but it must take the guilt also. It must cleanse your conscience. It must cleanse your heart. It must cleanse your soul. And it must cleanse your conscience also. All right. So that the thing is, people might bring up your sin, talk about, well, I remember when you did, you know, I don't care if you do remember. I don't remember. I have no recollection of that. You know why? Because if he took away my sin, he took away the guilt of it and he took away even the remembrance of it. He don't remember my sin no more. So that's number one, that the ransom got to have the power to do that. Number two, when a ransom is paid, it must satisfy the judge and the ruler of the whole earth, which is God. has got to satisfy him. God must be satisfied with the ransom. I'm going to say it again. I got to say it till you get it. I don't want to rush over this here because you have got to get this here. God must be satisfied with the ransom. Meaning that it must pacify God. It must appease God. It must please God. Now, Pastor Reed, how do you know that the ransom did all these things to God? You got to know how God thinks and you got to know how God lives. God don't live in time like us. God lives in eternity. In living in eternity, God knows the end of a thing from the beginning. All right, watch. Jesus is going down to the river to be baptized of John. The heavens, it says, lo, the heavens are open. There's a dove that descends from heaven. There's a voice that is heard, and the voice says what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So what is that telling us? He already knows that his Son is going to be the ransom that is going to satisfy, please, and appease him. And it's going to be worth so much. It's going to cost him so much that God is going to say, satisfied. Debt paid in full. So before Jesus ever went to the cross, God knowing the ending from the beginning, he says, in essence, when he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, he says, satisfied. So number one, it's got to be able to remove sin, take it totally out of our lives, along with the guilt thereof. Number two, it's got to be able to satisfy God. Number three, a ransom has got to be number one. In number three, there's three particular things. Number one, it's got to be able to satisfy the law. Paul says in chapter number 7 of the book of Romans, he said, the law was against me. Now, does that make the law bad? Paul says, no. The law, what it did. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar, pray over your request, and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877 877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. It did. It took an occasion, sin took occasion by the law. And what sin did, sin slew me. Because had there not been a law, I would not have known that sin is sin. You see, it was the law that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. It was the law that said, thou shalt not steal. It was the law that said, thou shalt not commit murder. The law said that. Well, Paul says, sin took occasion, by the law, and it slew me, because had there not been a law, I would have been free from all that the law said thou shalt not do. But when the law came in, now the law, being a schoolmaster, it told me what I shouldn't do, but it didn't give me the power not to do it. So what the ransom had to do, it had to satisfy the law. So how did it satisfy the law? Number one, Jesus said that I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. All right. Also, what the ransom had to do, it had to endure the penalty of the law. It had to endure the penalty of the law. Well, according to Romans 3, verse 23, it says that for all have sinned. Well, sin is what? The breaking of the law. That's what sin is. Let me say it again. Sin is the what? Breaking of the law. Let me say it again. Sin is what? The breaking of the law. And who broke the law? The Bible says all of us did it. All of us did it. Now, so what does the ransom have to do? The ransom has to endure the penalty of the law. Well, what is the penalty for breaking the law? Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death. So now the penalty of breaking the law is death. So all of us was under a death penalty. According to Romans 5 verse 8, it says this here, and God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who did Christ die for? He died for sinners. And who were sinners? All of us. All right. Now, so the law or the ransom, it had to satisfy the law. It had to endure the penalty of the law. And Jesus did. He endured death. He that knew no sin died. The only thing that reprimand or recommend or can produce sin or produce death is sin. Jesus didn't sin, but he became sin for us. All right. So he was made sin for us. Can you say amen? We need to hear this and pay attention to what God is saying to us. All right. Because we're going to miss it because we live in some half-cocked Christian lives, that will never get us and never produce the life of God in us. And the thing is, we'll miss out on what God is saying to us and what God want to do in our life because he that had an ear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Now, the Spirit will visit us and say something to us. Now, if we miss it, that's on us. We'll never get before God and say, God, you didn't say that. I didn't hear that. He said, because you wasn't listening. All right. Third thing. All right. So it's got to satisfy the law. It's got to endure the penalty of the law. And then it's got to remove the curse of the law. It's got to remove the curse of the law. So the ransom has got to be able to remove the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The curse of the law, number one, is death. Number two is sickness, is disease, is poverty. And the list goes on and on. Anything, tightness, being broke all the time, a bad mentality, a bad attitude, lack of knowledge, lack of insight, blindness of mind, all those things is the curse of the law. But what the ransom has got to do is got to be able to remove that. If I can remove the curse of the law, watch. If the ransom can remove the curse of the law, can endure the penalty of the law, and satisfy the law, then why do we live in poverty? Why do we live under sickness, disease, death? You shouldn't have to live under that, and I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. And the fourth thing, I gave you three already, and the fourth thing, the ransom must be able to annul the power of Satan over our lives. What does the word annul mean? To void, to cancel. Somebody gave another definition. Void, cancel, and somebody said something else this morning, and I can't recall it. But we get to understand it, that when it annuls the power of Satan over our life, it means that Satan has no more say-so in our lives. It cancels the power of Satan over our lives. That's what the ransom does. All right. So for this cause, it says in 9:15, for this cause, Christ is become the mediator of the what? New Testament. Jesus says to his disciples, which we do as often, Jesus says, and Paul said it, he says, now, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Now, how often should we do it? He didn't tell us. He didn't say do it every day. He didn't say do it every week. He didn't say do it every month. He just said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He says, as often as you do it. You can do it 3 times a day. You can do it 10 times a day. You can do it 1 time a month. You can do it 6 times a week. You can do it 1 time a year. He just said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And what are you doing in remembrance of him? He says, you're taking the bread, you're eating it, you do show forth my death, you take the cup, but this cup is the blood of the new covenant. So if there's blood in the new covenant, there must be blood in the old covenant. I'm glad you realize that. So let's go back and let's investigate this here to show you the cause of Jesus's coming, what he has done for us. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Go back to verse 9, I think it is, of Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 9, in the Message Bible. We're going to pick it up there. I don't have time to go back, to verse 1, but we will pick it up in verse 9. And in verse 9 it says, under this system, the gifts and the sacrifices can't really get to the heart of the matter. Now, he was talking about under the old system, because if there is a New Testament, there must be a Old Testament. Y'all work with me here. So under the Old Testament, he says, under that old system, the gifts and the sacrifices, it couldn't really get to the heart of the matter. See, the real heart of the matter, the real deal, those sacrifices and those gifts that they made couldn't really deal with the real matter. It couldn't get to the heart of it. I couldn't get to the core of the matter. Watch. But it says, it can't assuage the conscience of the people. Meaning it couldn't cleanse the guilt from your conscience. You walk up to a goat, put your sins on the goat, send the goat out into the wilderness, and that goat take your sins away because that goat is the type of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, you say, now that goat didn't do nothing wrong. You watch it. Every time you come to the house, under the old system, you had to kill a bullock or kill a lamb or a turtle dove. And you said, that thing didn't do nothing wrong. And the thing is, you still walked around with a guilty conscience because although it covered your sins, it couldn't take them away. Although it covered your sins, you still had a guilty conscience. So again, it says, under the old system, those sacrifices, it couldn't really get to the heart of the matter. But verse 10 says, but they are limited to matters of rituals and behavior. It's essential. It was a temporary arrangement until a complete overhaul could be made. So the old system was only temporary. Until a complete overhaul. And the complete overhaul, you're going to find out, is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 11 says, but when the Messiah arrived, It says, high priest of the superior things of the new covenant. Now, if there's a new covenant, there must have been a... There you go. You're working with me now. So it says, so he was the superior things of this new covenant. He bypassed the old tent and its trapping in this created world and went straight into the heavens tent, the true holy place. And he did it once and for all. Now, under the old tent, let me just show you something under the old tent. Come here, man of God. Come here, man of God. Hold that over there. And hold this over here. Now, under the old covenant or the old tent, there you go. All right. There was what we call the holy place. Alright, there was the outer courts. The outer courts was when you came through the door of the tabernacle, you know, there was an altar there. The first thing you ran into was an altar. Everybody say altar.
Altar.
See, so when you came through the door, you had to come to the altar.
Yes.
Isn't that something that in the church, you know, we just come and sit down. we don't go to the altar. You know, the altar was a place for alteration. Let me say it again. If you came through the door of the old tabernacle, the first thing you were faced with was the altar. The altar was the place you offered a sacrifice. That sacrifice was burnt. And being burnt, it was altered. It was changed from one form to another. As a matter of fact, you couldn't go no further in your worship until you went to the altar. Let me say it again. You couldn't go no further in your worship until you went to the altar, until there was a change, until there was an alteration. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, this is why I won't get to Christianity, because see, in Christianity, we've got the wrong impression, we've got the wrong, formalities of Christianity. Christianity is the same way, that when you come through the door, which is Jesus Christ, there's got to be an alteration. You come to the altar. You know, there's got to be an alteration in your life. Now, once that alteration has taken place, then there was in the outer court a pool, which is symbolic to our baptism. In baptism, the old man goes under the water, and what does that symbolic? Death. You are dead, or you bury the old man. And then when you come up out of the water, what is that symbolic of? Resurrection. You're rising in the newness of life. All right. So you buried the old man. Somebody say, I buried the old man.
I buried the old me.
And now when I come up out of the water, I'm a new me. You've heard people say and preachers say over the years, you went under the water, a devil, and you come out of the water, a wet devil. The same devil. See, now the preachers had they had something on that, because if you come up out of the water and it's supposed to be a resurrected life, a new life. Now, notice the priests before they went into the holy place. Now, I'm not even talking about behind. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor and in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 3-9-5-2-1. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call in to this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. I'm not even talking about behind the veil yet. When they went into the holy place, you couldn't go into the holy place unless you passed by the pool. You had to wash in the pool before you went into the holy place. Alright, see, because in the holy place was the shoe bread that only the priest could eat. That the bread speaks of the bread of life or the word of God. It was the candlestick, which speaks of being the light of the world. And it was the altar of incense, which speaks of prayer life. See, you don't have a prayer life unless you've come up a new creature. Come on, y'all. You don't have a prayer life unless you've been changed on the altar. See, what are you going to pray about if you ain't had no change in your life? What are you going to pray about if you ain't come up a new creature? And this is the wrong indication that Christians give to the world is that when they're supposed to be a new creature in Christ, they've bought the old man in the Christianity. And what the world sees is that you're supposed to be new, but why do the old man keep showing up? Why do the old man keep showing up in a new life? If any man be in Christ, he is a
new creature.
All things are.
Excellent.
See, the old thing should have been burnt away way over here on the altar. The old thing should have been buried in the water before you ever proceeded way over here. And now you're acting like you're way over here. And the old man that's supposed to be way over there is showing up. And people are confused about Christianity. Because you have given them mixed messages. Watch. I asked the question this morning. Can you be anointed to attend church? I really want this to get to you. Can God anoint us to attend church? Can we really be anointed to attend church? I was in prayer this morning, you know, and this just dropped in my spirit, you know. So I know God, you know, dropped this in my spirit, and he spoke to this. Me concerned, can you be anointed to attend church? And I start praying and I start speaking in tongues and I start talking to God and I start saying, God, only you know this here. Can I be anointed to attend church? And God says, it's very simple. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let me say again, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go to the house of the Lord. It says Anna, you know, who had lost her husband 7 years in the marriage. It says that she lived at the house of the Lord. She was anointed to be at the house of the Lord. Simeon, you know, anointed to be at the house of the Lord. David loved the house of the Lord. Matter of fact, when David built the house of the Lord, he built his house on side the house of the Lord. And he built his workplace on the other side of the house of the Lord. So that, you know, from his workplace, he had access to the house of the Lord, you know, and from his home, he had access to the house of the Lord. When David sinned at his home with Bathsheba, the Bible, history says that he left his throne, because that's where he was when Nathan challenged him, and went to the house, took off his garments, his royal robe, threw his crown on the ground, and laid out before God and said, Lord, it's me. I have sinned. I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And I know I can't teach transgressors your law until there's a list of things you got to do in my life. You got to wash me. You got to renew the joy of my salvation. It seems like my salvation, I ain't joyous about it no more. And what I did with Bathsheba and with her husband speaks about how I'm not joyous about my salvation because I've done other things and I don't have the joy of my salvation. But you got to restore the joy of my salvation. Give me the reason why I got happy to get saved. Give me the reason why I got happy to be a Christian and be happy to be called a Christian. You know, we don't want to be called Christians in this day and time. You look at our teenagers coming up today, you know, and our young people coming up today. I'm telling you, it's just like the car that I told you about. Our teenagers, our generation don't know nothing about, you know, having a vehicle without a console in the middle of it. They don't know about the old vehicles that when a man went to pick up his date, that she slid all the way over and got up under her date. You know, there wasn't no console in the middle to separate them. You know, what has happened? What has happened? You know, just like it is with that vehicle, it is in Christianity. Our people, you know, that come to Christ in this day and time, they don't know nothing about the closeness of God, getting close to God, because there's always something in the middle to separate them or to keep them away from being too close to God. So here's the thing again. Unless we come to the altar, bury the old man, then we shouldn't proceed over here. Because if we're over here, you know, with the old man, when he should be over there, then the world gets a bad picture of Christianity. Because they see us saying, I'm a Christian, you know, but the old man is showing up. How can you be, and then it causes the world, Kim, to ask questions. How can you be a Christian, you know, and you doing this? See, the world, the people got sense, y'all. You know, we're not all ignorant that live in the world. You know, it's how can you do this and you said you that? If you say you that, then you ought not to be doing this here. You know, anybody know that? So the thing is, even the world can come to a conclusion that since you say you this and you're doing that, you're not really this. You are that. So when the world deem us that, then the bottom line, most of the time, we are that because we are not this. And because we are not this, we are that, then that needs to go back to the altar. That needs to go back under the water. And you need to put that in its proper place so you can be this. Somebody shout with me. Yeah. All right. All right. So, where are we at? Right. Under the old system. Here we go. So, once we come to the altar, buried in baptism, now we come in to the holy place. Now, but you see that what they're holding up? Bear, get behind that. All right. That's where God is. Stay on that side. Stay on that side. That's where God is. God is behind that veil. Everybody say they're holding up a veil. Or a curtain. That's what God is. Now, watch. Here's the impression of the world. Impression of people that we just don't know no better. We just not haven't been taught any better. People think we can just come through the door and we can just walk in on God. God, how you doing? You know, my car broke down and I need a new car. You know, I'm having trouble in my family. You can't bypass this and go around that and go straight to God. You know why? God will kill you. Because he told Moses. Moses said, God, can I see you? God said, you can't see me and live. All right. God is too holy, you know, for you just to approach him. Let me show you why 9:15 says there for this cause, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. You just can't come. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this in chapter 10 of St. John. He said, here's what he said. He says, I'm the door. Now, if any man come any other way, see, this the door, this the veil, this the curtain that keeps us away from God, and it keeps us away from God to protect us. Y'all need to see this. Jesus keeps us in our sinful condition. He keeps us away from God for our sake. Because if we just go straight to him, there were two boys that tried to do it. You ask Levi's two sons. They tried to do it and God killed both of them right there in the house. Y'all go back and read that story. God killed both of them. You know, then told Levi, told Aaron, you better not cry. Don't you better not cry. That was Aaron's two sons. Kill Aaron's son. So you better not cry. All right. So what Jesus does, he prevents us. And we say, well, you know, that's a shame that Jesus preventing us. No, that's a blessing that Jesus preventing us, because he has a plan. All right, everybody say a plan.
Plan.
God always has a plan. So we can't go. As a matter of fact, under the old, put that back up there. Under the old, where was that when we talked about the old in Hebrews 9? Under the old system, and then it said under the old system. Here we go. Under the old system. Under the old system. We were in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 9, under the old system. All right, they're gonna get it. All right. Under this system. Under this system. Verse 9. That's the old system. Under this system. This is the way this system was set up. All right. Now, but go to the verse where it says, "But when Messiah came." Yeah. Verse 11. But when Messiah arrived, here is Messiah. This is Messiah. This is called Jesus. This veil was called Jesus. All right. And being called Jesus, the only way we can get to him, we had to come through this. But this prevented us from getting there. And matter of fact, there was only one person that can go back there, and he could only go back there one time a year. And that was called the high priest. And when he went back there, he had to have some blood.
Yes.
And he had to have some blood for himself and for all the people that he represented.
Yes.
Now, I want you to pay attention to what was going to come up on the screen, now. It was in verse 11. So Jesus went back there once and for all. Look at verse 12. Watch this here. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood. See that when the high priest went back there, the high priest wasn't going to take his own blood,
right?
Because that meant that he had to die. he didn't go to some nurse and she pulled out some of his blood. And even if she did, his blood wouldn't have done it, because he had sin in his blood. But see the goat and the calf, it was an innocent animal that knew no sin. So God always takes something innocent to use in the place of the guilty. So look what he said. He says, this is what Jesus did. He bypassed the sacrifice consisting of goat and calf blood. Instead, he using his own blood. This is what Jesus did. He used his own blood as the price or the ransom. The ransom. Now, y'all know those four things I gave you concerning the ransom, that the ransom had to be able to do. So he used his own blood as the ransom price to set who? Us free. What? Once and for all. So the thing is, when you come through the door, which is Jesus, and you ask him to become your Lord and Savior, and you ask him to take his rightful place on the throne of your heart, you ask him to forgive you of all your sins that you've committed. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar, pray over your request, and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone, and then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. Committed, and you're going to live the rest of your life, you know, serving Him. As a matter of fact, you're going to live with one of those verses that says you're going to live all out for Him. Then, watch this. If God delivers you from sin, just say, all of us know whatever we did before we came to the Lord, whether we were thieves or adulterers or fornicators or liars or drunkards or whatever. But watch. Say God delivered you from adultery. That was one of the sins you did. No, so He delivers you from adultery. So you say, you know, before I received Christ, you know, I was an adulterer. But since I got saved, I'm now a fornicator. So, wow, He delivered you from adultery to fornication. Now, do that make sense?
No.
Watch. You know, before I received Jesus Christ, I was a thief. I stole from anybody and everybody. But you know, since I received Jesus Christ, I'm no longer a thief. I'm a murderer now. Does that make sense?
No.
So, He don't deliver you from sin to some new filth.
That's right.
To some new sin. See, so the thing is, if you said you got saved, if you say that you've received Jesus, then the thing is, you're delivered from sin to live all out for God. You're not delivered from one sin, and now you go into some new bondage. You go into some new sin. I don't do that no more, but I do this now. No, you shouldn't do any of it. Sin is sin. So He delivered you from that. That's why He came. John saw Him coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that do what? Take away the sin of the world." Now, sometimes we don't like hearing this, and we don't like preaching on this here, but you got to see why Jesus came. Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom of God to you. And the only thing that separates us and keeps us so far from God and keeps us away from God is sin. So it says, so He bypassed those sacrifices. He used His own blood to free us once and for all. Meaning that once He freed you from sins, once He broke the feathers and the chains off of your life, you don't have to go back to an old lifestyle. Let me say it again. You don't have to go back to it. I'm going to say it again. You don't have to go back to it. Because you are free what? Once and for all. So here's what the scripture tells us to do in 1 Peter. I think he says something like this here. Resist the devil. And what he's going to do? Now, before you receive Christ, the devil wasn't running nowhere. The devil was all in your ear. Talking to you, girl, look how fine you look. He wants you. And look at you, boy. You just as fine as cat's hair. And, you know, she wants you. And you thought you had it all together. And now, since you're a little older, you're losing your hair and your muscles done turn upside down. And you ain't as fine as you think you used to be. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the devil was all in your ear lying to you. Y'all know he was, wasn't he? You know, and the thing is, and we had no power to resist him. But the Bible says, now being in Christ, he says, resist the devil, and who gonna run? He said, and he'll flee from you. You know, what I'm so afraid of with the church, there ain't a whole lot of resisting. There's just a whole lot of listening. And there's no resisting because we don't know what the New Testament is. We don't know what he's freed us unto. When God free you from something, he free you to something. It's like Colossians 1:13. He delivered us from what? The power of darkness. And he translated us what? Into the kingdom of his dear son. God never leaves you in limbo. If he delivers you from something, he delivers you to something. All right. So what verse are we in now? We're in verse 12. So he paid the price with his own blood and he freed us once and for all. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, if that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior, verse 14 says, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives. Inside and out. If when you came into the tabernacle and you killed that calf and that goat and it atoned for your sins and it covered you, think how much more the blood of Jesus, cleans us up inside and out. Look at verse 15. It says, through the Spirit of Christ, he offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead end efforts to make ourselves respectable. Now, here it is. There's two lines of thought in Christianity. Hear this. Two lines of thought. All right. One line of thought says, and see if you all can identify with this here. People say, well, you ever seen people work around the church or they do good deeds in the community in society? And you would hear the saying sort of, I'm doing this for the Lord.
That's right.
What in essence are they saying? They're saying these works that I'm doing, I'm doing this so I can get closer to the Lord. Or I'm doing this to gain some points to the Lord. Or I'm doing this to secure my place in heaven. That's why I'm doing the works that I'm doing. That's one line of thought. Another line of thought, think about this one, is that since I already have my place secured in heaven, since I'm already next to the Lord, you know, my position, then the works that I'm doing because I'm so close to the Lord. The works that I'm performing in the community, I'm doing because this is when I laid my head in his bosom, you know, I heard him say, this is what needs to be done in the community. This is what needs to be done in the life of sister so-and-so. Sow this seed into the life of brother so-and-so. So I'm not sowing a seed, or I'm not doing this work to get close to God. I'm sowing this because I'm close to him and this is what he wanted done. So you see those two lines of thoughts? Now the correct line of thought is, because Jesus died, he already positioned us in a position to be close to God. The Bible says that we've received, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Another one says that we have obtained everything that pertained to godliness and life in Christ Jesus. So if we're in Christ, we're already next to God, and things that we do, then we do it because we're in him. And that's his mindset. We're not doing it to work to get in him or to gain access to him or to gain a place in him. We already have our place in him. So this is what God is wanting us to know, and if Christianity understood this here, and if people understood this here, society would be so much greater and so much better, and we would have so much effective living in society. I'm not doing these works to try to get to heaven. No, James and Paul addressed it two different ways. Paul said to the Jews in chapter 3 of Romans, he says, listen, he said, you cannot be saved by your works. Y'all are trying to work y'all way there. Ephesians 2 verse 5 says, you're saved by grace and not by works. Why? Lest any man should boast. You'll go around saying, I gave $10,000 to this cause. I gave $20,000 to this. You'll be like in the 18th chapter of St. Luke, there was two people came to the church. There was a publican who was a sinner, and there was a Pharisee. And here's how the Pharisee approached God. God, I pay tithe. I fast so many times a week, and I pray so many times a week. The Bible says the publican dropped his head, smote his breast, said, have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. Jesus says the publican went away more justified than the Pharisee. Why? Because you're not saved, or you don't gain any points on the works that you do. So Paul told the Jews, you can't work your way to God. James says, faith without works are dead. So he says, you can't be in God and not perform works. Huh? There ain't no way you can sit next to God and have a place in God and then not show forth godly works. Come on, talk to me. If you're sitting next to God, then you lay your head in God's bosom, then you're going to get up every morning and go live all out for God. God's going to tell you something about that day and say, you know, sister so-and-so, you know, she need a cake baked today. Or brother so-and-so, you know, won't you buy him some grocery?
Yeah, that's right.
Or that family over there, send them a card just to let them know that their works is don't go unseen, and we appreciate all that they do. God will tell you something, you know, so that you can be effective in that day. So your works will come out of being next to God. You don't send the card and say, see, I sent them a card, you know, God, I hope you take note of that. You see those two lines of thought? All right, so we say, so it says, so those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable, you know, we get rid of that so that we can live all out for God. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, you know, like a will that takes effect when somebody dies. When does a will take effect? Now watch this. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. He says, the new covenant was put into action when? You know, if there's a new covenant, there is a. And the new covenant was put into effect when? Why? Because a will takes effect when? When somebody dies. So it says, his death marked the transition. What does transition mean? The move from place to place, right? Meaning that, you know, if I ask Josh or Jonathan to move from here and to go over there, what have they done? They have made a transition, right? So this is what they're saying. His death marked the transition from the old plan to the new one, canceling the old obligations and accompanying sins and summoning the heirs to receive the eternal inheritance that was promised them. He brought together God and his people in this new way. Now, I love this here because hear what it's saying. There was a will in Abraham. Abraham met God before Moses. As a matter of fact, the Bible, if you read it, it'll say, God promised Abraham some stuff 400 and something years before Moses came on the scene. Way before Moses came on the scene. So Abraham was... Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905 8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. So Abraham was not under the old covenant, but God made promises to Abraham. All right, in Genesis 12, verse 1, I don't have time to read that, but go back and read Genesis 12, verse 1 through about 4 or 5. There's 7 promises God makes Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through you, Abraham. All right. Then in Genesis 17, go back and read this. I think it's around in verse 5, 6. Here, listen to this promise that God makes to Abraham. Watch, pay attention. It says, Abraham, I am your great and your exceedingly great reward. He says, and I'm going to bless you. Then around verse 5 and 6, and he says, and I'm going to bless your seed in their generation. Now, Galatians chapter number 3 says, if you are Christ, meaning that if any man be in, so if anybody received Christ, raise your hand. All right. Now, the Bible says this here. If you have received Christ, put it plain and simple, then you are Abraham's seed.
Yes. Come on now.
Now, let's go back to Genesis before the law, before the old plan came in. And let's see what God said about Abraham's seed. He says, Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless your seed in their generation. Meaning that when your seed come forth in their generation, I'm going to bless them. All right. Now, then Galatians 3 says that if you've received Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham. So you have a blessing waiting on you in your generation. But the problem is we can't access that blessing, you know, because the blessing is written in the will. But we can't access what's written in the will until the mediator dies. All right. So now let's understand that scripture now. It says a will is not in effect until the death of the takes place. And it says the new covenant was put into action when Jesus died. So Jesus dies. So now the will comes into effect. You're Abraham's seed. There is some promises that's promised to, let me see all you that have received Christ as your Savior. There are some promises that's promised you. They're written in the will. But the thing is, we don't know what the promises are. So what Jesus does, he dies, and because there's no sin in him, death can't hold him down, he gets up out the grave. And now, he lives forevermore. Now, why is he living? He's living to make sure that we get what's written in the will. You don't understand. There's something written in the will for you and you and you and you and you. But we don't know what this, that, and the other means in the will. So Jesus not only dies to make the will come into effect, now he gets up out of debt, and now he's going to enforce the will and make sure you get what's coming to you. Tell somebody, I got something coming to me. See, this is why you come to church. This is why you get under good teaching. Because what good teaching do, it opens up the wheel and it tells you what you got coming to you. It shows you what he left in the wheel. What the devil's job is to stop you from getting to a place to show you what's yours. And if you don't know what's yours, it's hard for you to lay hands on what belongs to you. But if I know it's mine, I'm going to get my stuff. It belongs to me. I've got to have what's written in the will. Hallelujah. So, Mom, why did he come? For this cause. Huh? Y'all ought to tell somebody, for this cause. You struggling in life, amen, wrestling with this, that, and the other, and you ought not to be wrestling with it. Why? Because for this cause, he not only died, he got up out of the grave to enforce his will in your life. When he died, the Bible says that the curtain was torn in two, and he made a living way. Now I can come up into God. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Bible says, come boldly now unto the throne of grace in the time of need to obtain mercy. Tell the Father what you want. Father, I got Jesus. And he told me whatsoever I ask you in his name. Now see, I can be bold now.
Yeah.
Because I'm washed in the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. And I don't even have to call him Father. I can say, Daddy. Daddy. Now, you know this belongs to me in the will. And Daddy say, straighten up his glasses. Let me see. You ain't got that yet?
Come
on now. Yeah. I've signed some angels. You know, and I told him to bring that to you. Well, Daddy, I ain't got it yet. Michael. Come here.
Right.
Go check on those angels.
Yeah.
She says she ain't got what I sent to her 21 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Come on, there's a breakthrough coming your way. Yeah. If you ain't got it, it's on the way. It belongs to you. Come on, stand on your feet and let's pray today. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody, I got something coming to me. And it's on the way. Father, thank you right now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. My God. Oh, my Nabosha. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, it's in the wheel. It's in the wheel. It's in the new covenant. It's in the New Testament. And Lord, it's mine. It belongs to me. I've been reading. I've been searching it out. I see what's in the wheel. And it's concerning me, Lord. Make it come to pass. Make it happen. I lay my hands on it. I will not depart and leave this life until I lay my hands on what's mine. You promised it to me. You left it in the will. You enforcing it. And Lord, I want it to come to fruition right now. I'm not going to allow my old life. I'm not going to allow old things. I'm not going to allow old habits. I'm not going to allow the devil. You have canceled his power and is working in my life. Satan is defeated. Jesus, you are exalted. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus, you are exalted. I don't have to live like I used to live. I'm brand new. I'm washed in the blood. I have the promises of God all over my household. Thank you. Woo. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, my prayer today is, Father, that you will continue to anoint us, opening the eyes of our understanding. Father, you said, here's what you said in your word. You said that we might know the hope of his calling. So what you're telling us is that unless the eyes of our understanding is open, we don't know the hope of your calling that you have for us. So, Father, the thing is, open the eyes of our understanding, because we need to know the hope of your calling for us. You have called us for some things. You have given us and qualified us for some things, but we don't know them yet. So, Father, open the eyes of our understanding, that we might know the hope of your calling, and that we might know the riches of the inheritance that you have in the saints. Lord, we won't know that unless you open the eyes of our understanding. Come on, lay your hands on your own heads and say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Now, let me tell you something. God is going to do just that. I guarantee you on this week, amen, all of a sudden, you're going to be in the kitchen washing the dishes. You're going to be vacuuming around the house. You're going to be working on your job. And all of a sudden, amen, you're going to get a revelation in your head, in your mind, in your heart. You know, this belongs to me. It's going to make sense. It's going to come clear. Why? Because God is getting ready to open the eyes of your understanding. And you've heard it over and over and over and over. But for the first time in your life, it's going to become clear to what that means. And you're going to jump and shout right where you are. You're going to have a Holy Ghost fit right where you are. Why? Because God is going to open the eyes of your understanding, and you get ready to understand something that you ain't never understood before. Now, the thing is, ain't going to be no thunder, ain't going to be no lightning. Amen. There's going to be a quick revelation from God to you. Come on, one more time. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. In Jesus' name, we seal it right now. Right now, right now, before I let you go, before I close out, maybe there's somebody in the room today that if you've seen the demonstration and the illustration, you're around church, you come to church, but you never can recall the time that you went to the altar or you went before God and say, Lord, I've been around church all my life, but I've never just come to the place that I'm transformed. I bypassed the altar and I've never had an alteration in my life. I've been in church, but I'm still the same person. I still wrestle with things. Things that I should have long ago got rid of. Struggling with things that should have been buried in baptism. But Lord, they're still evident in my life. And when I should be living a new life in Christ Jesus, that old life keeps showing up every day in every way. So that in some areas I've gotten comfortable with it. And I've just said, oh well. But Lord, if you're really God, and you really can break these things out of my life, if you can do that for me today, I'll serve you the balance of my days. I want to make an all-out commitment today. I want to make an all-out commitment right now that if you are who you say you are and you can do what you say you can do, save me. Save me, Lord. Save me that I spoil no longer. If you tell me I don't have to do those things and I can be kept from those things, I want to be saved right now. I want to be delivered right now. I want to be changed right now. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor and your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the word is working in your life and how you've been blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you.